Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Alex Abbott!
Really? Really? That your name gets that kind of enthusiasm?
Do you want me to give you a little more?
Yeah, I mean, you're like Pete LePage, and then, Alex! You're like, you really amped up yours.
Listen, Pete, we charge upwards of $200 to $300 for the show.
We do?
We all know what people are here to see.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'm sorry.
Are you riding your Miley Cyrus high right now?
Listen, I know we talked the past couple of weeks. I've been a little behind on comics.
Right.
My day job is working for MTV News. We've been really busy with the VMAs. They happen this weekend.
Yeah, congrats.
A huge show. The most tweeted about live event of all time. That's
Are you sad. Serious?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of
47
sad.
Million tweets.
That is sad.
Only 46.9 million of those were me on my personal account.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So did you also have outfit changes like that matched Miley's? Like every time she changed, you changed?
Yeah, but it was mostly T-shirts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, comic book T-shirts, actually.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Did you change your underwear every time she changed?
I am wearing my Punisher underwear that I was given on last show, yes.
Yeah, if you weren't here last week, Pete got some gift of underwear, which, you know, you'd think would be sexy, but it was actually not that sexy.
Who thinks giving a dude underwear is sexy?
Giving somebody underwear makes you think Nethers. The nethers.
Oh, you've never been more uncomfortable in your life. That was awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever seen my movie, Nether Been Kissed?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're in for 3 solid hours of this.
Yeah. We extended the show. Wait. Yeah. This isn't like your MTV show. We only go for an hour. That's it.
Oh, how do we give out all the awards then?
We don't give out awards. We talk about comic books. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
I've misunderstood what this show has been for the past 8 years. One thing I haven't misunderstood, though, is our guest, who I'm very excited to have here. We always enjoy having him on the show. He's a comedian. You've probably seen him around New York at the People's Improv Theater and other places. Ladies and gentlemen, Langston Belton!
Langston, welcome to the show, buddy. Good to have you. Have a seat.
Thank you for coming.
Have a seat. Grab a microphone.
What's happening, guys?
Oh, my gosh. Hey. Well, we're having a comic book podcast talk show.
I like that.
Yeah,
I can get
that's
down
actually
with that.
What's happening. That's what you meant, right?
I can get waist deep in that.
Yeah. Nice. Do you ever, let me ask you guys a question. This is not apropos of our guest or anything, but I was thinking about this the other day. When somebody is like, hey, how was your week or how was your weekend or something, and you had a really bad weekend,
right?
Do you say, good, anyway?
Yeah, you
or do you tell them the truth?
No, you don't tell them the truth.
Fine is what I usually say.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay, because I recently went away for a week, and I had, to be honest, a pretty bad vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I thought, it's all right. But I thought about it. I was not looking for you.
Yeah, only one of us pretended to care.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get back to work, and people are going to be like, how was your vacation? Were you so relaxed? And I don't know that I can honestly be fine. So there were a ton of people that asked me, but when people come up and they were like, hey, how was your vacation? I'd be like, not great.
Where do I begin?
It was actually kind of worth it just for the shocked look on their faces.
Oh,
where they're like, I don't know how to respond.
How do you respond to that?
Because they don't really want to know.
Right.
Like, oh, how was your week? They expect a good or a fine. When you go like, sit down. Let me tell you about it. They go, come on, man.
Yeah, the follow-up to how was your week is whatever business that concerns me, let's get on to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get good. Yeah, I got a new cat. Like, it just goes into that. It just goes into their personal nonsense.
Yeah, so that all being said, how have you been?
Fine.
Glad to hear it. Moving on.
Great. So we're rapidly approaching. We're just at the beginning of September, but it's going to get here sooner rather than later. New York Comic Con is coming next
month.
Very exciting. And you're going to be part of one of the events leading up to it,
right? At the People's Improv Theater, there's going to be an entire weekend of awesome programming with Lorraine Sink. If you don't know, she's also a brilliant improviser. I perform with her.
And Marvel's The Watcher.
At Marvel's The Watcher, she's the nerd queen of Marvel. And my podcast that I host with some really fun dudes, Nerds Under the Influence, which is just like this podcast. We have a couple of – but it's 2XS. Not 2XS, but – the point of it is that it just ends up being, by the end, you want it to be a bunch of drunken nerds yelling at each other about nerdy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's basically where we start.
That's where we start. Exactly. Yeah. And then we like taking you on the journey of from sober to to dangerous.
Yeah. Gotcha. Cool. So what do you guys talk about on the show?
Well, the whole thing is we talk about anything that anyone's nerdy about. So we've talked about comics, video games, cartoons, action movies, theater, comedy in general. So it's really the goal was let's sit and talk whatever you're nerdy about. If you even if you're nerdy about books, we can talk. We can nerd
that
about
seems
some books.
Impossible.
Impossible, right?
All book readers are super cool.
They are the cool people now. Yeah. So it's really mainly just about whatever you're nerdy about. Let's sit and talk about it. And everyone that's on the cast has different levels of nerdiness and very different things. So
yeah,
that
BJ
really
is like a horror movie nerd.
Oh, he is the horror movie nerd. He knows every horror movie thing that's ever horror movied.
Yeah. What's your nerd expertise?
Oh, I think my nerd expertise is like comics, video games, 80s cartoons, and Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yeah.
And Ant-Man.
Say,
yeah, Ant-Man.
You've got to have
particular?
That separate.
Power Rangers, of course.
Wait. Hold on. I'm going to take a step back because I've literally never met an Ant-Man nerd.
Really?
Yeah.
He's huge Ant-Man nerd. Dude, he was losing his mind for that movie.
Still losing my mind.
Why? I mean, I don't mean to ask it like that.
No. But you're absolutely
right. What's wrong with you, I guess, is a better way of saying
it. Yeah. Coming from a guy who's Cypher's his favorite. So,
this isn't about me. This isn't about me, Pete.
Okay. Not bad.
This is about our guest.
No, Ant-Man, I think it was the first comic that I bought with my own money was an Ant-Man comic.
Nice. Before that, you were like just stealing comics?
Yes. I was just going in and like, you know, hiding out in the back and reading them and then putting them under my jacket. It was flat, so I just looked like I had a lot of weird, you know, body dysmorphic issues that made my limbs look flat.
You look totally normal in a comic book store then.
Exactly. But I love the costume. It was the issue where he goes into the Vision to fix him. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I thought I was like, he can shrink and talk to ants. And I was like, how is that useful? I want to read a story where that becomes useful.
Yeah.
And I was not disappointed.
Wait, was that an issue of Avengers or West Coast Avengers?
No, it was Avengers. He didn't. Did he ever get shipped off to West Coast?
Ant-Man?
Yeah.
No,
I don't think so.
No, but Vision was in West
Vision
Coast.
Vision was, yes. Yeah. Vision got shipped there.
I remember that issue so clearly, but I don't remember why he needed to be fixed or what was going on.
It really was funny because they were kind of like literally looking at the Vision on the table being like, I don't fucking know what's wrong with him.
Yeah. One thing that I've always had a problem with in the Marvel Universe, and I know you're not supposed to think about these things too hard, but whenever they needed something like, oh, some Vision is broken on the inside or somebody has some weird small robots in them or they have brain cancer or whatever's going on, hey, let's get Ant-Man to fix it. Let's send Ant-Man inside of their body. Ant-Man is an expert in PIM particles. He's not a surgeon.
Also true.
Right. Yeah. So that
he can shrink
I don't know why he wouldn't say he can
shrink some books and sit in there. I don't know what time is. No,
sure,
time
but he can't
normally.
Read faster than a normal person.
That's all you're not supposed to say. You put the plan under a microscope, it's a bad plan.
Sure. Well, but you could extrapolate that to all the scientists in the Marvel Universe, right?
True.
Where they're like, oh, you're a scientist, what are you an expert in? They're like, science.
Yeah, Reed Richards.
As opposed to the real world, it's like, you're a scientist. Oh, I spent 26 years figuring out how to make soda less fizzy. And that's my thing.
You wouldn't send like a neurosurgeon to fix a car.
I mean, you could, but you're going to get a very bad car.
Yeah, or the smartest car in the world.
Exactly.
Put a brain in the car.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a great thing to send a neurosurgeon.
So what did you think of the Ant-Man movie? I mean, other than flipping your shit.
I loved it. You kidding me? I can't think of a bad thing about that movie because I then go back to the fact that I sat in a theater and watched an Ant-Man movie, and he's now like a major player in the Marvel Cinematic and now in the Marvel Universe. So I'm like, this is the best possible timeline for me.
Well, they just revealed, I think it was just this past week, they revealed the teams for Civil War. I don't know
if you guys saw that
online, which is pretty cool.
Fairly lopsided,
In not Cap's favor, right?
No, he has just people on his team.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this early on today, and I was like, Cap is, I mean, he's probably going to be killed anyway, but he is going
to
get killed.
Yeah, he has to.
And they're like, no. Sure, they have more firepower on Iron Man's side, but what Cap's team has is heart. And I was like, you are making my argument
for me. Firepower is the most important thing in war.
Yes, it's more important. Like, you know, World War II, Hitler probably was like, but we have heart. We'll win.
And then they were fanatical, but
Jewish guy making a Hitler joke.
Yeah, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
There's two tanks on Iron Man's team. Yeah. Iron Man and War Machine could potentially win that.
One of them is called War Machine.
Also, Tony Stark has the rest of just the actual military.
Right.
Like, they're criminals. So it's like, just send the army after. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But in the like you say, when you think about it too much, really, they would just send the entire army after Cap, or just carpet bomb him from space.
Yeah. I mean, so that said, your boy Ant-Man is on the Captain America side.
Which I'm very high. He's the only person with superpowers on that team.
Yeah. Are you worried about him at all?
Yeah. But he can shrink and get away. It goes, if it goes wrong, he's like, time to go.
He's a villain.
He can be whatever he
wants. Well, I'm just saying, like, people
he's above it all. That's true. They'd be like, he bailed on us. I was like, listen, I don't need this. If I register, his daughter could get, you know, free health insurance or something like that.
Yeah. She's going to need it. She owns a giant ant.
I heard it's boiling down to health insurance.
It is. That's expensive.
Yeah, they're just going to sit down and, like, haggle over 401ks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. That's going to be a cool movie.
I am on Iron Man's side, though.
Are you? Wait, yeah. Really? Why? Yeah. Why?
Because if you have a person, like, let's say you're some kid who you get your superpowers, and, you know, they always liken it to puberty, like you're growing up, and you could make heads explode. You want to know where that person's at in case they start exploding heads, because you want to have someone be like, hey, listen, come to this facility, we'll train you. If you like, we can put you on an event.
They're
we'll
not give
you
train them. They're putting them in the cage so you don't blow up any heads is what they're going to do.
And if you can't control it, you go in the cage. But you know what? Better you be in a cage than out there exploding heads, and then we have to come after you, right?
I don't know, man.
It wasn't a good power to come up. Exploding heads is a real extreme, but I feel like there should be a database of who's
who. Well, but it's a slippery slope, right? It's a slippery slope because then you have, like, Pete's power is being a total asshole about everything. Are you going to throw him in a cage just because of that?
No, I'm throwing him on an Avengers team. I'm putting him on an Avengers. Like, go out there and sass these guys into submission.
Yeah.
Your code name could be the Sasser.
The Assassin?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. The Assassin?
Oh, boy.
What?
I can do this all day.
Assassin.
We should probably move on to the stack, right?
Yeah. Actually, this is funny. I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Assassin was a character in Never Been Kissed.
Ah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's nice callback.
Thank you. Thanks for calling out my callback.
Yeah,
speaking
no
of calling things out, I'm going to call out our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comics that we particularly like that we want to go to bat for.
And you actually read a couple this week.
If by a couple you mean two, then no. But I read a comic.
All right, good. Yeah. One's better than.
I'm still a little behind. We talked about this a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. I'm about 2 or 3 weeks behind in my comic books right now. There's a large stack that I have.
Miley Cyrus takes up
all
the
time. How can
you
not? I watched the VMAs.
What'd you think?
Oh, okay.
Great. Oh.
There's a lot. There's a lot to unpack.
Sure is.
That was just one of those things. I was watching at a bar, which is just showing you what I do on my Saturday nights. I was at a bar getting drunk. We were playing the VMAs drinking game.
Nice.
That when someone made it in a bar. Huh?
When did you drink?
Oh, it was
this
like,
is probably not interesting to anybody.
It was
else,
whiskey. It was just Jameson all night. And so by the end of it, I was seeing dead presidents. It was hallucinating.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice.
Did you you guys know about the Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus?
That is the greatest.
What are we doing right now? Talking about the VMAs. We should be talking about comic
books. This is the only thing that I've been focused on for a week.
Well, you got to move on because we need you here.
No, I don't think so. Can I just mention one thing?
Yeah.
All right. The only thing that I wanted to mention is I feel like, whatever happened with the ratings and whatever you think about the show, but there was this Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus moment where Nicki Minaj won the award, and Nicki Minaj was like, wow, thank you so much for the
now,
support.
Now, back to that bitch that was saying shit about me. I was like, what? We were all in the bar. Everyone
the
lost there. Everyone was like, she's going to go over and punch Miley Cyrus in the stomach. Like,
the
please.
Thing, and I would say, not to choose sides, but like between, like we were talking about.
Whose side
Cap
are you on? Yeah, between
Iron
that,
Man,
that eventual
sort of
musician civil
definitely
war.
Definitely Team Nicki. All good.
Good.
But my mom, who definitely didn't watch the show, called me and was like, oh, you're working on the VMAs? And I said, yes, I was. And, I was managing editorial in New York. It was really fun. It was good. And she's like, oh, I saw some stuff on the news. There was a lady that was being very rude to the, what do you call it, maitre d'? And I was like, I think you mean host. And she's like, well, whatever it is, I saw it on the news. And she was very rude to her.
I like that.
Yeah.
So is Nicki Minaj Iron Man or Captain America?
That's a great question.
Whose side are you on? I'll get it back to comics, man.
No, that's good.
Thank you.
Speaking of getting back to comics, let's get into one of your picks, Pete. Rasputin, number 8.
Yeah.
Now,
Pete,
from Image Comics. Now, I know, Pete, you've been loving this book, and you definitely want to talk about the actual contents of the comic book and not ads or anything like that,
That's correct. Yep.
Great. So talk about the comic book.
Well, a lot of people ask us, what's a good jumping on point? Like, if it's late in a comic book series, this issue actually is a really good jumping on point. If you wanted to kind of check out a good Image book, this dealing with Rasputin, the ever kind of living here.
Kind of living?
Yeah, he's kind of alive. He's not really alive, but he's like living dead. I don't know.
Is anybody really fully alive?
Wow, dude.
Here we go.
If you watch the VMAs, you're not. That's for sure.
I can't comment on that.
Yeah. Anyways, so Rasputin... the art and writing is fantastic, kind of sets up this kind of magical world. I love when an art kind of does a great job of pulling you into the story, and I feel like the art here does a great job of setting up this kind of very specific world. Where
yeah, well, this is Riley Rosmo, who does awesome, awesome work, if you've read any of the other stuff that he's done. Like Sheltered, I want to say? No, that's not right.
They did that amazing series with Sasquatch where it was like a detective team and like Sasquatch was on it.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyways, this dealing, focusing on Rasputin and kind of like his adventures. And it's just action-packed, kind of scary, but very intriguing and well done, I would say.
Good, that's great. So we talked about the comic book, so there's nothing else that we need to talk about.
Well, there was. You know what's nice about comics? Is they give you a bonus. They give you like a, hey, if you like that, here's a couple pages of another Image comic.
Tasty treat in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this tasty treat was a tasty treat. Mm-hmm. It is, what's it
I'm
called?
I'm glad you know what it is. You were so excited about it.
I was super excited about it.
Can I set this up just very briefly?
Head Lopper.
Yeah. There's, you know how there's sometimes previews in the back of a comic book?
Yep.
This is a preview of another comic book.
Yeah.
So this is not actually the comic book.
No, but what's great about this comic is it gives you a bonus of Head Lopper in the back.
Yeah, it's an ad.
No, it's not an ad.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ad.
It's like a teaser.
That's literally an ad.
Nah, it's different.
I don't even know how.
But anyways, there's a hilarious moment where there's this decapitated head that kind of travels with the main character, Head Lopper. And Head Lopper, while he's sleeping, decapitates an evil monster and then puts its head on a stick. And then the decapitated head has this nice moment where in the morning he's looking at the head on the stick and he's like, beautiful. And I just thought that was hilarious to see one decapitated head
it's kind of
talking about another decapitated head.
When you told me the art was good and it was a good, exciting new comic, it was called Head Lopper. I was super interested in the idea of Head Lopper.
Right.
But when you told me there was decapitated heads in it, not so interested.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
just doesn't really seem to match with the Head Lopper concept.
Seems like that's a very weirdly specific thing to get upset by.
I guess so.
It very much reminded me of like a really adult Genndy Tartakovsky, like Samurai Jack, like episode. It seemed like a scene that would be in Samurai Jack if Samurai Jack was a big, burly
goon
dude with.
Well, he did team up with that kilt guy for a while, which.
Oh, the Scottish dude with the machine gun for a leg.
For a leg, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to talking about this comic book when it's an actual comic book and not an advertisement.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about Head Lopper. You're right.
Yeah, that would be
well,
great.
Well, you know, now we got something to look forward to in life.
Oh, God, this is getting really dark.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of dark, let's talk about Superman number 43, one of my picks from DC Comics.
Yeah.
So that was not just a weird segue. This book actually is getting very dark and surprising.
Controversial.
Yeah. Both the stuff that's happening in Superman and Action Comics right now is awesome. So good. We've talked about this a little bit on the show. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, over in Action Comics, Superman has been heavily depowered. We don't know why.
Yep.
He's wearing kind of a dude bro costume a little bit.
Yep.
Tight t-shirt. Just has his cape wrapped around his head. He has a little bit of stubble, shaved head. So when the look first came out, a lot of fans were like, what are they doing? Are they turning Superman into some sort of Ed Hardy dude or something like that?
Right.
I feel like I read that in a lot of places. But over in that book, Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter are doing a fantastic job telling the story of what happens after Superman loses most of his powers and the world finds out who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, over in Superman, we're finding out how he was revealed and how he lost his powers. And both stories are completely different, very, very different takes on Superman and very different stories, but both completely awesome. Here we're getting this weird tech villain called Hodor Root.
That really threw me for a loop because of Game of Thrones. I was like,
yeah,
Hodor.
Yeah, it is kind of Game of Thrones, right?
I was like, Hodor? Okay.
I thought it was like a big Roto-Rooter ad.
So I'm going to spoil a little something, if that's all right.
Sure.
Yeah, so big thing that we've been wondering about is why Lois Lane revealed Superman's identity.
Right. Really, why would she do that to him?
Why would she do that? She's clearly he's clearly pissed off at her. What exactly happened? This issue we finally find out, and beyond the big action sequences and how tense it is, them fighting this new villain, it's really emotional what goes on with Lois. They go through, she's found out he's Superman. She tearfully tells him, listen, I'm scared of what Superman could do, but I know Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. You're still that man. I'm not going to reveal your secret. And then she finds out what this villain has been doing with other people, that they've been murdering them and burning them out, which is the position that Superman is about to be put into. And in order to stop it, the one thing that this villain has over Superman is that the villain also knows Superman's secret identity.
He'll release it. There's a great part where he's like, it'll take you less than a second to get to me, which is more than enough time to release into cyberspace. So it's just this great death trap, and you're like, well, how does he get out of that? Because that is one of the great Superman MacGuffins, is his secret identity. Like, if that ever got out, what that would do to the character.
And so what Lois does to save him is she releases that identity and all the stuff about Hodor Root, the bad guy, to the entire world. Yeah. And Superman is just like, how dare you? You have put everybody I know in danger. You can't do that. And she
His family, his friends.
And she tells him, you would have done the exact same thing in my position. And it's this wonderful setup for the relationship. It's upsetting. It's dangerous. It's exciting. I can't wait to see where it goes.
Also, the comic starts off with this kind of tender moment of Lois taking care of Superman. And it's like, I mean, this is a really powerful issue. I think Yang's doing an amazing job writing it. I mean, obviously the art, you know, Romita Jr., it's going to be amazing. But, like, it's fantastic to have two comics going on simultaneously, and each one are doing a really good job telling a story from different kind of angles.
I'm curious to hear from you, Pete. You've been, I don't want to say a horrible piece of shit, but about the Spider-Man marriage?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're like, you've harped on
Dig in, everyone, right? Dig in.
Why would you say I'm a horrible piece of shit?
Buckle up.
I'm the voice of reason in this insanity that is breaking up.
Or maybe you're the insanity in nothing but a sea of reason.
Yeah, I've been the reason.
Disagree. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But another big marriage that got broken up was Lois and Clark. They're no longer together. So how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this issue? Because they're teasing it a lot.
Yeah, they're playing with emotions. Yeah, and they're like, hey, I have somebody else. And the other one's like, yeah, I have somebody else too. Nobody cares about those other people. You only care about Lois and
Clark. How do you feel about them teasing us about Lois and Clark?
It's aggravating, but I think it's – I feel like they're not going to – they're going to give us what we want, which is them together.
Why – okay. I mean, I guess you got to it. But why are you pretty much okay with Lois and Clark being split up, but you're not okay with Peter Parker and MJ being
Because
split
I'm
up?
More of a Spider-Man fan than Superman.
Ah.
That was a more – level-headed answer than I thought you were going to give.
Sure was.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where, I don't know, I've always felt like Superman and Lois is this thing that, for Superman, him having Lois, he's needed Lois more than she's needed him, and I felt like, I don't know, man, for me, the relationship of Spider-Man and MJ meant more and was more powerful than this relationship. So when they fucked it up, I was like, oh, DC, you're out of your fucking gourd. But the way they've been playing with it, instead of just shoving it off the table, being like, no, fans, you'll never get it again, but kind of using it in a way that isn't upsetting, that's kind of more human, I appreciate. And it doesn't bother me as much, and you can read it, and regardless of how you feel about the relationship, at least to me anyway, it just kind of it works a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right.
There is a great moment, because I love what I love really a lot about DC, the characters in general, that they are so good at these very small character moments. In the Brits, this huge turning point for Superman. They show, like, you know, a bunch of reactionary shots, like all these screens with, you know, him with his shirt, you know, his shirt open showing the Superman symbol. And it shows the Justice League and Bat. They're all kind of like, oh, this is a big deal. And it's only Batman that just has HRN, like, almost like, like, it's almost like Batman going like, I fucking knew he was you guys are all behind the fucking eight ball.
Yeah.
Welcome
to
my
world. Do you think he knew?
Oh, absolutely. He was like, when he did it, he was like,
you don't think he was like.
I think Batman was probably like, well, shit, there goes my contingency plan to fuck with this guy. I was going to do that 2 months ago, but now this Hodor weirdo.
Hodor.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be, he just kind of goes like,
it's a very interesting, like.
They're all like, he's like, God damn it.
I don't know. I feel like, I kind of feel like he's like, fuck, I didn't figure that out.
Yeah. No. Batman knew.
That's actually even funnier if he just goes like, I have to go, and like goes and like he whips himself like a cat of nine tails. Like, you should have known.
No, he goes into a room where he had like all the different identities.
Oh, yeah, and just like starts pulling it down. Like, no, but not
he
that
comes
guy.
Out, Alfred's... and everybody's like, well, Batman, you had to know. And he's like, of course.
Alfred, tough day at the office. You wouldn't fucking believe this shit.
I know
it's
what
Clark Kent.
I know what all of your identities are. They're like, really? What's my identity? It's like, I don't want to tell you.
David Sanborn? Famous jazz saxophonist?
Cool. Let's move on and talk about a little bit of comic that is a little bit of jazz.
Ooh.
A little bit of smooth jazz underwater.
That segue. Look at that sweet segue.
Thank you. Low number nine, also from Image Comics. So, Pete, what do you like about this book?
Well, it's kind of this, I talked about it a little bit on the end of last show. It's this dystopian future, and you have, like, this a lot of really strict laws and regulations about art and being able to express yourself in ways that don't offend or piss other people off, and...
Which you understand, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's one of these things where... We've been following a bunch of main characters in this issue, but in the series, and you see like this kind of like strict person who's kind of up in the military as far as ranking is concerned, and she has to turn in her own girlfriend who's an artist and is secretly putting out stuff for the rebellion, and then she has to like deal with that. And but with this issue, you have you learn that these. One of the main guards was separated at birth from her sister, and it's a little bit of them kind of being reunited.
Have you been reading this series from the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So the main thrust of the book is there is this family. They take place very, very far in the future where humanity has run out of air, so they all have to live underwater. Underwater, the air is starting to get bad. Like, they're running out of good air down there, too. And... at the beginning of the series, the main family, one of whom the father operates this battle suit that only genetically can be operated by anybody else in the family.
Helm suit, I believe they
call it. Yeah, helm suit. Gets attacked by pirates. He gets killed. His kids all get sold into slavery. Only the mother is left, and she is basically utterly destroyed until a probe hits the surface of the water somewhere. And says, we may have found a place that is livable with air. So it starts this whole quest where she's trying to find her family. At the same time, she's trying to save essentially the entire human race. But typical for a Rick Remender book, things get way worse before potentially they get better at some point.
This book is just, I love, there's two things I love about this book. One is I love any, we see all these dystopian futures all the time. I love any dystopian future that is so far in the future that all these brand new colloquialisms and slang and terms and things like the past that like it was the if we're the past right now, this is so far gone away. Like this is like myth that people used to sit in rooms and talk about mythological creatures. And also the second thing I love about this book so much is there's a robot bear.
That's true.
There's a robo bear. Yeah, I was watching.
I
go, this
see
is
that
great.
Coming.
Robo bear. I was like, come on, man. Who doesn't want a little like a giant robot bear?
It's,
you can like ride around him.
It's a robot bear that lives underwater.
Come on. That's such a
great
sentence.
Only in comics.
Yep.
So far.
You can't also, again, the art is just unbelievably
amazing. It is
amazing.
Yeah, there's one thing that I was going to mention about this issue. So I was okay with it for the most part. There's a really good chase scene in it. There's some good fight stuff.
Right.
But at the end of the issue, mild spoiler, is the first time we actually really get to see the Helm suit in action, where we've spent, what, eight issues at this point.
Yeah.
Talking about, oh, this is the ultimate weapon. It's so badass. Everybody wants to use it, but nobody has really used it. We finally see it in action, and there's a two-page spread where Greg Tachini, the artist, just gets to show what it does, and it's insane.
It is kind of terrifying that that thing kind of exists.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I did have one, not minor quibble, at near the spoiler alert, but at near the end of the issue, one of the characters, her clothes.
Oh yeah. Rip, yes.
And there is just like a boob window, and I'm just kind of like, I understand. It's, you know, it's the future, but it's like, why? I mean, not because I'm a weirdo. I mean, but
you are.
It's,
yeah, well, you were
like, you read about.
You were. I mean, we were all masturbating at the time, right?
What?
What?
Did someone start booing?
Too much?
Don't do that.
Hey, it's my body.
No, but it was just so like.
Well, let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been in like a fire and everything gets burned except for a little area where your balls are showing?
Tons of, if I had a nickel.
Yeah, exactly. I could relate to that when it happened. I was like, oh, God, I hate when my clothes catch fire. It's always the part that you want to cover up is showing.
That's why this book speaks to you. But it's just so like, it was just so out of nowhere.
You're right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
this
why
is,
on a woman does it have to be?
In particular, my problem with it is, so she is a guard on this elite force,
right?
Bunch of other guards are attacking her. A bunch of other guards are also in this fight. None of the male guards get their chest area blasted
off. Or anything
off.
Blown off.
Yeah, at just, all, except for the woman.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
And it's almost like,
I wonder if that's like a creepy editor who's like, hey, I like this book, but a little, you know what I mean? Like,
think so at all. I mean, I think what they're trying to do is, it's supposed to be like 70s exploitation movie type thing is what they're going for, where that sort of thing, like a Barbarella, where that would happen or anything like
that.
Fan service. I agree. In this day and age, you just don't need to. And if anything, it was distracting from otherwise really good action sequences.
I want to see an issue where Superman's fighting someone and like his clothes get ripped, and there's a two-page spread of just dong, and it's just like, and he's just like, oh, battle damage.
I mean,
and it's just like everyone's like, what is going on?
To your point, this issue of Superman does start off where he's in bed and naked and says, "What?"
It's a dick joke.
Yeah, there's a dick joke where he's like, oh, God, did you guys see my... And one of the women was like, yep, pretty impressive.
Yeah, you're impressively human. I go, I get it. He's got a big dick.
Yeah, he does. Or impressively human, like, it's very small and average.
That'd be amazing. If it was like, hey, listen, man, I guess you got all the powers except for the one that counts. That's why Lois wakes up with her clothes fully on. She took his pants off and was like, gross. And then was like, not worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Cool. Great book. Definitely pick it up. And that's it for the stat.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time for my next section. Our next section.
All of our next sections.
Yours and ours.
Which is my favorite section because I get to come out and talk to you guys.
Hey,
the lovely audience.
There's a bonus.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten into what they're going to get.
Yeah, there's already a bonus.
So let me just mention something first.
Sure.
So all you guys got to do is ask questions. It could be for our amazing guest. It could be generally for the panel about anything geeky, comic booky, love advice, whatever you want to do. And you get some free comic books and a bonus.
That's right. Well, we had a nice gentleman in the audience come, and we're going to give away some prints of... let me show you.
For those of you at home... we're going to take the prints and shove them against microphones, and you'll have to imagine it with your
sonar. Just rub them against the microphones?
Yeah.
You feel the contours.
Yeah. The good news is...
Oh, look at these sweet prints.
Very nice. That is a print of some art, and then there's some other stuff.
Did you pick up a Sheriff Star? What is that?
Great.
Oh, it's a magnet.
Pete is actually taking it and now putting it in his own bag.
Yeah, I'm going to... If you think I'm going to give all these away, you're crazy. I'm definitely taking
I will say one of my favorite things over the past 8 years of the show is Pete, like, Pete has consistently been like, wow, this is amazing. These giveaways are wonderful. I'm keeping one for myself.
Of course.
Oh, I mean, come on. I don't, you know, I mean.
That was the worst defense.
I mean,
come on.
Come on. You know.
Did I kill him? I mean, you know.
A lot of times when people bring stuff for the audience, they bring an extra one for us.
Or sometimes they bring stuff for the audience and they bring one less than they expected.
Aw. That's fucked up, man. It's fucked up. Anyways, art by Rogue and Josh. We've got some amazing prints to give away. They're phenomenal.
All right. Very cool. Very exciting. So raise your hand. I'll come out to you, and you'll ask some questions, and you'll get some free stuff. Literally anybody in the audience. You right back there. All right. Here, I'll come around to you or try to. All right. What's your name?
Andy.
All right. Andy. What's your question?
Hey. How are you?
What's your take on Ronda Rousey wanting to be Ms. Marvel?
Oh.
I could talk about this all day.
Like, only if, right?
Here's
like
the problem.
What do you mean problem?
Here's the problem.
What?
I'm looking at it objectively. Do I think she looks amazing as Captain Marvel? Absolutely.
Right.
She is a terrible actress.
Do you know that for a fact, though?
Let's be real. I've seen all the movies she's in.
Fast and Furious, she was amazing in.
What? Are you? This is your bizarro, Pete. She's horrible.
No, dude, she kicks ass in that
movie. That's not acting.
Oh, yeah.
If we put you in a room for 6 months and said we're going to train you how to be Batman, you could fight. But if you deliver a line, it sounds like garbage. And you think Marvel's going to Marvel? I'm pretty sure Marvel was like, "That's really sweet." Of course, all the fan art came out.
Right.
She's bad out loud, out literally out when she talks in a movie and pretends to be someone else. I'm like, what the fuck is? Come on.
Well,
please.
What if it was like a silent movie?
Then amazing. Like a piano, like, and she comes out. And then, like, the caption is, Captain Marvel's in trouble.
Yeah.
But it was a silent movie.
Oh, no, Captain Marvel got tied to the railroad
tracks. Yeah, then it'd be like, then it's like, yeah, it's.
Instead of 6 months of training for fighting, which she doesn't need, she gets acting classes.
If she was like, guys, I'm taking acting classes right now. I know I'm bad. I saw Fast and Furious 7. I'm taking acting classes to get better.
I thought she was amazing.
And I love Ronda Rousey. I'd marry her. She walked in right now and punched me in the face. I said, I'd still marry you. But she can't. She can't. And she was in Entourage, the movie. That's her resume, is Entourage, Expendables 3, and a bit part in Fast and Furious 7.
What I'm actually most upset about right now is it seems like you actually saw the Entourage movie.
Excuse me. No, I did not. I just know she was in it.
Oh, all right. What if she was great in that?
She was also great in that other movie you mentioned.
What other movie? Expendables 3?
Yes.
No, she wasn't.
What the fuck,
when
man?
When she was beating ass, she was like,
fuck
yeah.
She was like, oh, I got to go to work, and then just starts beating people?
Where they did a lot of really strategic close-ups to not actually show the fight. Man, we can't do this right now.
Just a question. I haven't seen Expendables 3.
Okay.
When she said, I got to go to work, did she actually like go to an office and type on stuff?
No, she started beating.
If only.
But that's not a job.
Yeah, it is for her. She was a bouncer.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
My take is no and thank you.
And Pete, your take is?
I would love to see it. I mean, she's awesome. She is fucking awesome, man.
Well, do you have a better choice?
Do I have a better choice? Yeah, Charlize Theron. Ooh. Yvonne Strivin. I can't ever say her last name. Yvonne.
Strakovsky?
Strakovsky, yes. Yeah. I think Emily Blunt could pull it off.
What I think your problem with Ronda Rousey is. She is a dirty blonde instead of a blonde.
We can dye her hair. We can't dye her acting ability.
Oh, man.
Fair enough.
And she's going to hear this. She's so terrified.
I'm really starting to get upset at you.
Why?
Because Ronda Rousey is awesome, man.
She is awesome because she is a brilliant, prolific, visionary female athlete. When she went into acting, it all went to fucking shit. It's bad. She's not a good actress. Right now,
all right. Let me ask you something. Did you see A-Team, the movie?
I love A-Team, the movie.
Right. The guy played B.A. Baracus.
Rampage Jackson.
Yeah.
He's amazing. But have you seen Mr. T in the A-Team? That's not acting. They said, Mr. T, go out and say this to that
guy.
But
you weren't – I didn't think he was a bad actor. I wasn't thrown out by him.
Mr. T or Rampage?
Rampage.
You are aware that you're talking about different people, right?
Right. But also, like, okay. He is a trained MMA fighter.
As is Ronda.
Right. So, like – he pulled it off.
But that B.A. Baracus essentially is a large black man who hits people, which is the man's name is Rampage.
Right. I'm just saying, I thought he did a good job. I feel like
if
you give Rhonda a chance, she could surprise you.
Let her audition like an actor, and someone else is like, "Can we still get Charlize? Is she off the table?"
Can you guys let's put this on hold? Next week, the three of us are sitting down. We're holding auditions for Captain Marvel. We'll make decisions then.
I can't do that. She'll come in and break my arm. She'll be like, "You're the motherfucker."
Say something now. Say something now, Langston.
She walking right now. I'd be like, "You are Captain Marvel. You've always been Captain Marvel. You were always my first Charlize." Who? Yeah.
Great. All right, raise your hand if you have a question. You, sir, come on up here. All right, what's your name?
Tony.
What's up, Tony?
What is your question?
What's going on, guys? First off, realistically, if you look at Avengers 2, like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver didn't do the best acting job in the world. So, truthfully, you don't need to be like the best actor. I mean, realistically, Ron Perlman wasn't the best actor in Hellboy. Let's be serious about it for a second. Let's be serious. Rhonda would do good. That's first off.
All right.
Question is,
I appreciate what you're saying.
No, indeed. I mean, I hear what both of you guys are saying. Her acting is atrocious, but she's only there to be TNA / kicking you in the face. Like, that's, and she does that well.
But that shouldn't be Captain Marvel.
But see, the thing about it is, like you just guys just said, like, she hasn't had the chance to, like, she needs training for that aspect. Like,
right.
You know, realistically, like, Olivia Munn is Psylocke. Like, Olivia Munn is she's not winning an Oscar. And realistically, you look at Halle Berry, who won an Oscar, and she played the shittiest Storm in the world. But
right.
my question is, with all the changes that's going on in Marvel, how do you guys feel like their kind of like new 52-ish launch is going to be? They launched like 40-some new titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you guys think that's going to be? And do you think the fact that they are using more ethnic characters, do you think that's going to be a plus or like a minus? Say like with the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaurs, you guys mm-hmm. hear about that?
Yeah.
Do you think those type of books are actually going to stick? And say like the Karnak book. Do you guys think like the Marvel's new 52? You think that's gonna like stick, especially with like pushing more ethnic and like mm-hmm. gender diverse characters?
The new PC Marvel. I mean, it's gonna be a crapshoot. I mean, I feel like doing stuff just to do stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they are though. You know, just not to interrupt you right off,
sure.
But I think.
Do you want to
first of all,
do something you haven't been doing for 8 years?
What?
Interrupting you while I'm fucking talking. It's cool.
Both DC and Marvel have a push right now to have more inclusion in their books, which is something to be lauded, and it's good. There's a long way to go, of course, until it doesn't feel like, oh, we're trying something new versus we're just doing stuff, which is great. But they got to get there somehow, so that's awesome. Do I think a Karnak book is going to sell 150,000 copies a month? No, absolutely not. And most of those books will probably go away. Are you going to see things go back to people are going to buy an Iron Man book? They're going to buy a Captain America book.
Right.
Maybe they're going to buy a Thor book, stuff like that. Sure. But there's other things that they have tried that have worked. So you never know where things are surprisingly going to work. It always comes down to quality and timing. Something like Ms. Marvel, I think a couple of years ago, you would have looked at Ms. Marvel and said, that's going to sell probably 5,000 copies and get mm-hmm. canceled after 6 issues. Instead, now that we live in a digital world, it's been ginormous digitally. And I believe the biggest book by far that Marvel has sold digitally, that's how people who want to read that book are reading that book. They're not going to a comic book shop to pick it up. So cutting a wide swath, if 50% of those books are really good and are timed and targeted the right way, could we see them stick around? I think absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of trying new stuff. You know, like, let's put stuff out there. Let's try to do better. I've loved comics that have been canceled after a little while. But that's the thing. Like, I'm excited to see who's on what and what's it going to look like and how's it going to feel. Is it forced? Do I feel like I'm getting it a good comic? Because that's all I care about. I don't care who's on it or who has boobs or who doesn't. I just want to read an interesting story. So.
That's true. And I mean, I'm speaking as an ethnic person. It's one of those things like, I want the character just to be, I don't want the character's defining trait to be that they are, see? Like when they made, there was this kind of a little bit of blowback when like, you know, Falcon became Captain America and they had the female Thor. Everyone was kind of like, you're just doing this because you're getting a lot of flack for not having these characters. As long as it's not like, see how Captain America's black now? It's like, see how Thor's a woman? Like, create a character, treat him as a character. Don't treat them as this black Captain America. He's Captain America. May have that, have him just be a human being that happens to be black.
Right. I partially agree with you. I think there's a certain sense of business in there as well.
Of course,
right? Because the what people initially called like Lady Thor, I think is a prime example of that. You throw out the idea of what if we made Thor a woman and everybody, bad part of the internet and bad part of the comic book population,
but
like,
the comic
Thor is great. No.
It's dope.
And that's what I was getting towards, is that people react, they get angry, they buy the book, and then it turns out to be a really good book that regardless of anything is a really good story.
That's
what you got to do. And I think, is that going to work all the time? Or are you going to get 40 titles that are all absolutely amazing? No. 90% of everything is bad or just fine. It's just a fact of life. But you're going to get that 10% that is a surprising specific concept that also pays off in terms of quality. I think we talked about this quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, but I think that's something that DC has been trying recently, and it's been really paying off. I've been enjoying more DC titles recently than I have probably in years, just because they're telling a story they actually want to tell. They're not telling this wide swath of comics. It's just one continuing story versus something like a Constantine is great. It's telling a really good Constantine story that's very direct, told individually in terms of each issue. Shut up, Pete. All right, I'll give you another one. Omega Man.
Oh, yeah.
Omega Man. Oh, thank you, Pete. But Omega Man is one of my favorite books coming out right now because it's telling a bizarre story. And every issue I read it, I'm like, does this take place in the DC universe? Does it? Oh, there's a Green Lantern. Okay, I guess it does. But you think about it, it's positing this idea that, like, for decades, space in the DC universe has been like, there are five planets and everybody knows each other in space, which is bananas. And then Omega Man, you're like, I don't know where this takes place or how this takes place or anything, but there's enough touches there that I understand this could be going on somewhere, but it doesn't have to be connected to, like, it's all leading up to Crisis on 5,000 Earths.
Yeah. That's all that's a means to an end.
Yeah. And
I mean, it makes me nervous when I hear, like, New 52 relaunch, that kind of stuff, because it's like, well, what are we changing? But at the same time, like, as long as we're getting good story that is going to be enjoyable to read and get into, then hell yes.
Yeah. I think it's also there are some characters that I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, Luke Cage is an amazing character. But maybe the defining thing about Luke Cage is that he's a big, angry black dude that is, like, invulnerable. Like, there has not been any... This is one of their oldest characters. He wore a yellow blouse and a tiara back in the day. But he's grown from then. But it's like, you already have these characters. Like, I don't even think you need a relaunch. You have all these, this great cadre of characters that you could elevate. And it's like, I don't think you necessarily need a relaunch. Just take a step back and say, people are saying that we don't have a lot of diversity, be it, you know, LG, you know, BT characters, black, anything that's alternative to, like, that default, you know, white male, you know, aesthetic that seems to be, you know, prevalent for however many years. But it's one of those things, like, just take a character that you is mired in where they've been forever and say, let's push that to the forefront instead of, like, having to change something that's been there forever. Because then it only seems like a reactionary, like, well, let's make this, you know, something different now so people can latch onto it. Just take – I want to see, you know – I mean, you know me. One of my favorite characters is Patriot. But you know, they don't – I think they don't have the rights to that character anymore. Patriot was one of the most interesting black characters – ever to come out of one of the most interesting tales about, you know, Captain America in his relation to African-American soldiers. And I was like, that is one of the characters that should be in Marvel, especially with everything that's happening in the world today. It's like having a young African-American man be in the shadow of this white hero. I'm like, that book writes itself. It's terrifying because if you screw it up, you'll, you know, be dragged into the streets and beaten with sticks. But, you know, it could go real wrong, but that's like the game. Like you said, it's like roll the dice. But I think, like, stuff like that, I think it's going to be great, like you said, if they just focus on telling really good stories that they want to tell.
Yeah. I think that the key is like not to put a huge spotlight on it and mm-hmm. focus and just like let's let these people write, let's let these people draw, let's see what they can come up with and let them be creative and see what happens, whether then instead of it being like, this is important, we need it, come on, you know?
Yeah, and let's be honest, it's comics, in a year it'll be back to normal.
Also true.
So there you go. Cool. You're going to get some free comics and print, I believe. We can take one or two more questions. You, sir, over here, what's your question?
Speaking of Marvel, I heard that Marvel Studios is separating itself from Marvel Entertainment. I was asking, what are your reactions to that?
Oh, right. Okay, so the news, and of course, everybody turns to us for business information, so this is great. Thank you for teeing it up. But Kevin Feige, who's the director of Marvel Studios, doesn't want to be involved, essentially, with the guy Ike Perlmutter, who is the majority shareholder in Marvel Enterprises. So he changed his direct report in Disney to Alan Horn instead.
Who's the head of Disney. Yes.
Yeah, who's the head of Disney. Which so
great.
He manipulated it really nicely so that Marvel is now part of the movie division, which makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
But also, he doesn't have to deal with the guy who cut down on the toilet paper in Marvel Comics or anything like that.
Yeah, I remember the story. He was complaining that reporters were getting two sodas instead of one. I'm like,
exactly.
Let's not do this.
And I would say, I mean, this is secondhand information, but I would say those reports have been under-exaggerated.
Really?
In terms of this guy. So it's not going to change anything. Like, it's really not going to change anything. All it changes is Kevin Feige and makes his life a little easier, which is nice. But in terms of absolutely everybody else in the world, I don't think it affects anything.
Isn't it a weird thing that, like, it's a story like, hey, there's a shift between jobs and Marvel. Like, what?
Yeah, well, I think it's one because it's one of the most important, like, Marvel Studios being bought by Disney is, like, one of the most important thing that's happened. Like, now the comic book movies are big business. When Disney, which is one of the largest entities, everything is eventually going to either be owned by Disney or Warner Brothers or Google. They're all under Google at some point. But the whole thing is, I feel like since Marvel Studios got bought by Disney, and now they have this huge infrastructure, now they're part of this huge universe, I feel like every story that comes out about the inner workings of that studio, since there has not been a studio like it before, is incredibly important because it's by all accounts and purposes, if you told someone a couple of years ago, it's like, oh, yeah, Marvel's going to have a movie studio that's devoted to making movies, and not one of them is bad. Impossible. That's like just...
except maybe Thor 2.
Thor, I like
Thor 2. Come on.
Thor 2. I'm just saying.
Lightning to the face is in that movie.
Cool. I think we can take one more question.
Yep.
One more. Is there anybody... anybody in the audience that has a question? Anybody at all? Peter, are you seeing anybody that has a question?
Yep. Yeah, the guy raising his hand.
Langston, are you seeing anybody that has...
The guy raising his hand.
What?
Don't be racist, dude.
I see a red shirt, and I see an
you're
orange.
Being racist right now.
Oh, this guy with the Deadpool hat. Hey, what's your name, sir?
Hey, my name's Rolando.
Hi, Rolando.
How's it going? You seem to be a Batman fan and a Deadpool fan. That's super confusing.
Batman. I'm a super confusing person.
Great, cool. I'm looking forward to your question.
We'll keep this one clear. Talking about your Superman story, the Superman issue you guys were reviewing, outside of that, what's the...
This is already very confusing. Go on.
What's the best conundrum you've seen a superhero be put under to solve?
Ooh.
Like the best problem that they've had to deal with? Like now, are we talking long-term or short-term? Or just like in general?
General.
Spider-Man just being Spider-Man? Spider-Man waking up every day and being like, fuck, do I gotta keep doing this?
Trying to find out what love is.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man's like, I got a date tonight, but I also saw that ambulance go by, and I remember my dead uncle said I got responsibilities, but this girl, Gwen, is so hot. I gotta go, hey, sweetheart, I'm gonna be late. And I think Spider-Man being Spider-Man is the greatest, like, do I have to keep doing this when all that happens to my life is everyone I know and love dies? And I'm just getting beat up for really no reason because the city has a newspaper that publishes fake stories about me.
When I was growing up, my dad had this collection of Superman comics, and it was like 5 to 10 comics from each decade. So none of the stories connected or anything like that. But there was like 5 stories from the 50s, from the 60s, from the 70s, from the 80s. And at least one from each decade had a Mr. Mizoplisic story. And I love them. I thought they were great every single time that Superman would somehow trick him into saying his own name backwards. It's awesome.
One of my favorite episodes of the animated series is when he just keeps getting tormented by, I can't remember say the name, and there's one bit where Mr. How you say his name?
Mizoplisics.
Mizoplisics.
I thought it was Mixleblack.
Who? I can't. He goes, his wife is at home, and he like has this robot, and he's like, I got him this time, disappears, and she goes, 3, 2, 1. He goes, damn it, what the, how do you do it? How? And the Batman, you know, Superman's been known for being like not the smartest person, but I love the fact that he just has this one thing on lock that is actually very, very good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool, you're going to get some free comics and a print, and that's it for your audience questions.
Very good questions.
All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is Pete LePage's domain, What?
Aren't we going to talk a little bit about the TV shows that came out?
I don't think so.
Of that? Really?
I don't think so. Nobody watches TV anymore. It's all about digital.
Well, okay.
It's all about social interactions.
All right.
We're going to, after this, we're going to do our section called Tweet at Us.
Ooh. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. But we're going to turn it over to trivia with Pete Page.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had money, you'd go to comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Oh, we got a competition. We got a competition. All right. We got two people. I don't know. I mean,
Pete, choose somebody.
Oh, jeez.
Jesus Christ.
He was first. He was first. All right. Come on up, sir. Come on up. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't,
Pete. Come on.
I don't mean to make it awkward, but you know, you just, you know. What is your name again, sir?
Tony.
Tony, audience, Tony.
What's up, folks?
Tony, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and that $25 gift card will be yours.
Yikes.
All right, so today's trivia is on Green Arrow.
Oh, shit, I hate
because everybody's excited about the new Arrow series coming out. Yeah.
I never watched one episode of Arrow. Ever.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you to sit the fuck down.
No,
man.
But I'm good though. I don't wear all this Superman all shit right. for nothing.
All right, cool. All right, here we go. What was Green Arrow's first appearance in a comic?
Okay.
Hint: it was in 1941.
Yeah.
Was it A, More Fun Comics number 73?
Okay.
B, The Legend of the Old-Timey Arrow number 1.
Okay.
Or B, Felicity and Arrow Road Trip of Love number 1. So it's either A, which is correct, or B, which is incorrect.
Let's go with, what was A again?
More Fun Comics number 73, which is correct. Nice job! Yeah!
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number 2. What is Oliver Queen's middle name? Is it A, Nick? Is it B, Jonas, or is it C, Rich as Shit? So it's either A, Nick, which is incorrect, or it's B, Jonas.
I'm going to go with B, Jonas.
Jonas is correct. Nice job.
Good pull.
SATs were this easy.
The Green Arrow has had a lot of team-ups and some breakups.
Yeah.
Which one of these teams has he not been a part of?
Okay.
Is it A, Justice League?
Okay.
B, The Outsiders?
Okay.
Or C, Marvel Studios breaking up with Marvel Studios?
I have to go with C.
C is correct, yes!
Yeah!
Thank $25 free dollars.
Unbelievable.
Good
congratulations,
that's
Tony.
Incredible. Well done.
Man, I don't know how he knew all that stuff. That's great.
It's not. I mean, the guy has a Superman T-shirt on. You can't put it past him.
That's true. Here's one thing I bet he doesn't know. Tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah.
We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to real quick?
I'm looking forward to Casanova Acedia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Number 4.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to Omega Men number 4.
Yeah, shocker.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, it's one of my favorite books now.
I'm looking forward to the next issue of Thor's.
Oh, yes.
Thor's?
Thor. Have you not read this book?
No.
It's a cop drama, but everyone's Thor.
We're still in Battle World bullshit, right?
Yeah, no, I love it, but this is one of the best things to come out of Battle World. Imagine a police procedural and everyone's Thor.
Wow.
There's a group Thor, Everyone, all the cops.
So
are forced.
How do you solve crime and get away with crime?
Hammers,
all...
dude. With hammer.
No, that's the thing. Like hammer versus hammer, who's winning?
No, but no, there's no hammer versus hammer.
Has anybody had to turn in their hammer on their badge?
Yes.
Yet? Really?
There Give is, me your hammer and
dude,
your badge.
I'm sorry. There is a panel where the Odin calls in Beta Ray Bill and Thor, Ultimate Thor, who's like the main character. And he's like, "You two are the worst excuses for Thors I've ever seen."
No,
it is. It's no. the best thing in the fucking world.
Are
it
you
is,
serious? Does he at one point say he's getting too old for this shit or?
Not yet.
Oh man,
that's what I'm looking forward to. The
I
next
can't wait
issue.
For it. Yeah, that's gonna be great.
Yeah, I bet old Thor says that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Frog Thor is their like forensics guy. They go to his guy. They're like, "Hey man, is it possible this is happening?" He goes, "Hey man, I'm a frog with the power of Thor. Anything's possible."
You convinced me to check out this book.
Well, that sounds great. Plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Langston Belton and Nerds Under the Influence at Nerds UTI.
That's a We're fun well show.
It's a great show. Pete's been on it. Yeah. At Nerds UTI. I'm performing on October 9th at the People's Improv Theater in New York City.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Dean Hashbeal is going to be here.
Nice.
Great comic book creator. Very excited to have him on. Yeah. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people you want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamadar, Craig Fletcher, David Mackay, and Riley Trahan. Thank you. We want to thank Langston for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., totally free at Fontana's. Please tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Yeah.